Okay, Alexander, we have some news coming out of Georgia. We've got some tensions brewing because it looks like that they have the Georgia government has detained the opposition leader. And things are getting very, very tense there. And Georgia does have a history of some very tense government episodes. And even at one point, they had a conflict with Russia. I believe that was in 2005, 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
2008, over
2008. South Ossetia. Okay, I'm three years off. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a very tense region. Georgia's had a lot of ups and downs, but things are getting tense again. And Russia, the EU, they're all urging for restraint and calm, but this could easily escalate out of control. What's going on in Georgia, Alexander?
Absolutely. I mean, there is a political conflict. Let's just talk about who the two main actors are, because of course we have the quarrel, which is over a disputed election, but the two big figures are who are pulling the strings in the background are Mikhail Saakashvili, who was the president of Georgia for a long time, who came to power as a result of the so-called Rose Revolution in the early 2000s, and who led Georgia into that catastrophic war with Russia in 2008, which led to Georgia's comprehensive defeat, and who then lost power shortly after in an election where the Georgian people turned against him. But he is still a political force in Georgia, even though he is not able actually to go to the country because he is wanted on criminal charges there. So that's Mikhail Saakashvili on the one side. And then on the other side, there is Bidzina Ivanishvili, who is a multi-billionaire, the richest person in Georgia, who actually is based in Georgia. He lives in an extraordinary Bond villain type mansion, which he built for himself in Tbilisi. It's an extraordinary glass and steel construction, which dominates a part of the city. And he is the sworn enemy of Saakashvili. And he was the person who organized the current governing party, the Georgia Dream Party, which won parliamentary elections against Saakashvili and which affected his removal from power. Saakashvili has never reconciled himself to that, and he's always looking for ways to come back. Ivanishvili is determined to keep him out. Now, they have their proxies in Georgia because Ivanishvili no longer holds government office. He is currently, just as he says, a private citizen. He's far and away the richest and in some ways the most powerful man in Georgia. But the Georgian Dream Party is still very much in power. And and against it, there is also Saakashvili's party, which is currently led by a man called Nika Melia. Now, Georgian Dream has accused Nika Melia of fomenting riots in Georgia in 2019. He was charged and convicted on that basis. And of course, he has refused apparently to carry out parole conditions. Well, this is very like, someone else, Navalny in Moscow, but never mind. That's just a coincidence. And as a result, there was an election recently. Georgian Dream, Ivanishvili's party, won again. Saakashvili and Melia rejected the result. Protests followed. And Georgian Dream, the government, Ivanishvili's, the government that's in power, which Ivanishvili backs, they arrested Melia, are now holding him on the basis that he breached his parole conditions. And they've also raided the headquarters of Saakashvili's party. This has, of course, provoked further protests, and we now have something of a standoff. I should say that the EU and the Western powers actually said that the recent election, which Saakashvili and Melia are contesting, was actually carried out properly, and the Georgian Dream won the election fairly. That's what they're saying. I'm not going to query that. That's the view. But they remained unreconciled to the fact that they're not back in power now. And certainly they still have support in Georgia. And we see a political crisis starting to evolve. Now, this is a shaky situation. Georgia has a history of sudden reversals and changes of power. The first president of Georgia, who was elected after Georgia became independent, a man called Gamzahoudia, was actually assassinated. Saakashvili himself came to power through political protests. There's been a long history of instability, of conflict with Russia, and the danger is that this could start all over again, and we could see again a new political crisis in Georgia getting deeper and getting more prolonged. The West is very interested in Georgia because Georgia at the moment is the only state in the Caucasus which is reliably pro-Western. The Russians, of course, are looking at the situation in Georgia with keen interest. Ivanishvili seems to want to improve relations with Russia. That is strenuously opposed by Saakashvili. Saakashvili is absolutely someone the Russians don't want to have to deal with in any form or way at all. And so I'm afraid there is also a geopolitical aspect to this crisis. So again, it's one that needs to be watched and looked at very seriously.
Right. Saakashvili is one, he's one bad dude. He's like a man without a home. Wherever he goes, he gets kicked out. He started the war, and he did start. That's without a doubt. There's not one court in the entire planet, including Western courts, including EU courts, that have not come to the conclusion that Georgia did start that war against Russia. That's a fact. There's no questioning that. So he did start that. Then he moved on to Ukraine, and that was a complete disaster. And wherever the guy floats around to, you know, trouble follows. And you know, this guy was he was very much a student of John McCain's. And I think that says enough. He was very close with John McCain. And it doesn't surprise me that they don't want him anywhere near Georgia's political structure because, you know, his past job performance has been absolutely disastrous.
I absolutely agree with that. Now, can I just say, I mean, you mentioned the fact that it was Saakashvili who started the 2008 war and that this is absolutely indisputable and is a fact. You are absolutely right. It is a fact. There has been a recent decision of the International Court of Justice which has confirmed it. I mean, the International Court of Justice now came along and said that Georgia, in other words, Saakashvili, started that war. There was previously an EU investigation which also concluded and said that Georgia started that war. And one of the most frustrating and vexing things is that I repeatedly read Western journalists, including, for example, Simon Tisdall in The Guardian, constantly say that in 2008, Russia attacked Georgia, whereas in fact, it was the other way round. It was Saakashvili, to be precise, who attacked Russia on behalf of Georgia. And we've had both an EU investigation and now a judgment by the International Court of Justice, which says that. It's amazing how these things are simply ignored and disregarded in that way. But you're quite right, Saakashvili is trouble and creates trouble wherever he goes. He led Georgia into a war which Georgia couldn't win. He became increasingly authoritarian and despotic in Georgia itself. He's widely suspected of shady dealings with some very troubling people whilst he was president of Georgia. He gets a lot of credit by some people for supposedly cleaning up corruption in Georgia. I have to say, I've heard different stories from people, including my brother, who visited the country. And when he went to Ukraine, he very, very quickly became unwelcome there also. So he is trouble. But unfortunately, he still seems to have backers in Washington amongst, you know, John McCain's, the sort of people who were aligned with him, among, you know, the neocons, and people like that. And he is still clearly a political force. And if he does come back to Georgia and he does regain power, either directly or through his proxies, then I'm afraid that is going to take Georgia in a very bad direction, because, of course, the Russians are waiting and watching. And if he moves, they will move, and they will move with a vengeance. And as became clear in 2008, if the Russians do move against Georgia, there is nothing the West can do to prevent them. So it's an extremely bad outcome if it happens. But beyond that, it's bad that apparently Saakashvili and his party are not accepting an outcome of an election in Georgia, which even the West says was free and fair.
For now, they say it's free and fair. For now, they say it's free and fair. That's my point. They could easily, Biden could easily turn on a dime and start to say, you know, human rights and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The usual stuff that they can do if they think that it would be to their benefit to turn Georgia upside down. This could happen very easily. And this comes to my final question, which is, it's beginning, I think. Everyone should stay tuned to this channel, guys. It's beginning. We did a video on Armenia. We're seeing what's going on in Georgia. We did a live stream on the ramp up in Syria. You know, NATO is being talked about a lot now. It's a lot in the news, NATO. I mean, under Trump, it took a backseat. Now everyone's talking about NATO again. It's beginning, Alexander. I think that the Biden foreign policy is starting to take shape, and I think it's very much a continuation of the Obama foreign policy, but without any of the of the adults in the room, if you could say that Obama was one of the adults in the room. But it doesn't have any of the adults in the room. I mean, it doesn't have any handbrakes. And I'm seeing what's happening in the caucuses, and I'm starting to think, things are ramping up, and there's going to be a lot of instability in and around the region. And of course, there's always Ukraine as well, which is also starting to be in the news a lot recently as well. So it's beginning.
I completely agree with that. Now, can I just say, I mean, I talked about the fact that Saakashvili and Melia are not accepting the outcome of an election. I mean, given the extent of US influence in Georgia, and I mean, it's enormous. It is huge. I can't help but think that they have been given the green light to stage these protests and to dispute that election. Because, of course, if they were getting strong and firm advice to accept the outcome, I can't imagine they wouldn't have done so. So, I mean, I have to say, it does look to me as if all the usual people are back at work, creating problems in Georgia, creating problems in Armenia, obviously, creating problems in Ukraine, where there's an attempt being made now to clamp down on an opposition politician, Viktor Medvedchuk, and to close down Ukrainian Russian language TV channels. All of this suggests to me, a real effort to try and confront Russia in its own backyard. And by the way, Vladimir Putin had a meeting with an open meeting with the heads of the FSB, that's Russia's major counterintelligence service. And he actually said that. He said that there is now a concerted attempt underway to put pressure on Russia by creating problems in its, what the Russians call its near abroad. In other words, the former states of the Soviet Union. So the Russians are aware of this. And before very long, they're going to start taking countermeasures. And that, I'm afraid, opens up the risks of all kinds of things going wrong very quickly and very soon. We will see whether in Georgia, Georgian Dream and Ivanishvili are able to hold the line, and what both the US and the Russians will do and what will happen if they don't. And Saakashvili, in some form, comes back to power. If that happens, then a crisis in the Caucasus, it seems to me, is all but guaranteed.
Yeah. All right. Putin and Lavrov better be on their A game, because the Biden administration is coming after them. That's how I see it.
Yes, yes.
They better be on their A game.
I agree. By the way, you're perfectly right when you say the Biden administration, because I don't think that Biden himself has any real awareness of any of this. I think that we're getting ever more strange things coming out of Biden himself. I'm going to say that.
I'm going to be careful what I say.
Exactly. But that, as you absolutely rightly say, makes the situation more dangerous, because we have all these people in Washington and their operatives on the grounds, and there is no restraint on them. There is nobody who is able to pick up the phone and say, stop. There's no one there to do that, because we have a weak president and a weak Secretary of State. I'm engaging in euphemisms again, obviously. I think our viewers know exactly what I mean.
All right. We'll be monitoring the situation. Things are starting to heat up in a very bad way. All right. Alexander Bakers, thank you very much. Guys, go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merch. Look for our channels, Alexander and mine, down below. And what else? PayPal, Patreon, Subscribe, Star, and Bitcoin. And of course, Durant Shop, guys. Durant Shop.
The Durant Shop. Pick up a hoodie, pick up a magic mug, pick up a long sleeve t-shirt or a hat or a sweatshirt, and check us out on our other platforms, BitChute, Library, Odyssey, Rumble, and the others. And we look forward to you joining us on our next program. And thank you for joining us now.
Take care, everybody.